Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. You know, and I have said this many times, and I'll say it again. Everything in Chicago animal sheltering revolves around Chicago Animal Care and Control, who we will talk about in a bit. Lisa Lunghofer is the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, Steve. It's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. And this organization, I am a huge fan of because, well, we know there are more animals in shelters than there have been in years. We also know that most of those, and your organization is dog-related, so we'll keep this conversation to dogs, although what I'm about to say is true for cats, too. Most of those are older animals. The puppies get adopted out soon, or they're happily not in shelters in the first place, or the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 year old dogs. But many, actually most of the dogs in shelters are older dogs. Older dogs come sometimes with a medical issue or 2 or 3 along the way. And you help support these shelters so they can help support those animals. Can you talk more about what you do?
Absolutely. So the Gray Muzzle Organization is the largest national nonprofit organization focused specifically on the well-being of senior dogs. So as you said, that is our focus. That's where our heart is. And we provide grants annually to animal welfare organizations, shelters, and rescues across the country. We fund programs such as medical and dental care, adoption programs, hospice programs, and other life-saving efforts to help older dogs.
I guess I got a little ahead of myself. It's true that most dogs in shelters are older dogs, correct?
You know, sadly, the record keeping and data on animals in shelters leaves something to be desired. Typically, what's recorded is whether or not a dog is a puppy or not. So one of the things that we really are advocating for is more data on senior dogs so that we really can understand how effective our advocacy efforts are, how effective our grant making is in terms of helping those older dogs in shelters. But what I can say is that senior dogs are absolutely most at risk when they come into shelters, because as you mentioned, many of them do have medical issues. Many have not had adequate dental care throughout their life. And we know that that's a huge problem, and it's also a very expensive problem to treat, to get a dog's teeth cleaned up. But once those teeth are clean, once those dental issues are addressed, it has an amazing impact on the dog's quality of life, which is why we really do prioritize dental health and awarding dental grants, as well as awarding grants to help keep senior dogs in their homes with the people who love them.
Can you talk about that part of it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Over the last couple of years, we have really tried to prioritize preventing the surrender of senior dogs. We know that a lot of people are facing difficult times financially due to inflation and the lingering effects of the pandemic, and they simply don't have the means to provide the care that their senior dogs may require. And so oftentimes they're faced with the heartbreaking choice of having to surrender their dog in order to ensure that they get the care that they need. And we don't believe that any person should be faced with that choice. So we have increased the number of grants that we give that are focused on outreach to our communities, that are focused on helping people in our communities who have senior dogs who can't access needed veterinary care get the care that their senior dogs need so that they can remain in their homes.
What we know is that throughout the pandemic, people adopted dogs, which is a great thing. There are more multi-dog homes than ever before. There are more first-time dog owners than ever before. What we also know is that over the past couple of years, there's been this thing called inflation. And inflation has outpaced, in veterinary care, the general inflation in America for everything else. Why that is the case? Well, they say they have their explanations, and I'm not going to go into that now. But what I will say is that I suggest, and shelters tell me this, that they're seeing more people relinquish animals because they just can't afford the medical care, and we have more multi-pet homes. So now you're talking about two or three dogs that may need some medical care compared to one dog of pre-pandemic times. Can you comment on that?
Yes, I think that is a huge problem, and it's something that we hear from our grantees and something that we read about time and time again as we reviewed the nearly 400 applications for grants that we received this spring, which is really why we are focused on trying to help people in the community to access the resources that they need to keep their senior dogs happy and healthy, whether that's medical care or dental care. We've seen an increase in the need simply for food, for senior dog food. And so that's like I said, that's one of the things that we really are trying to promote, to ensure that those dogs don't come into shelters. As you said, you know, shelters are already overwhelmed. The last thing that we want to do is add to that burden. And not only is it adding to that burden, it's also traumatizing those senior dogs and the people that love them. So how much better is it to provide the resources to keep those dogs in their homes where they are loved, where they've spent their whole lives many times?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, generally, I think it's a mistake, and I'll hear what you think in a moment, to believe that these dogs are damaged goods necessarily, that they've got all sorts of issues. Oftentimes, people give up that dog for a reason like what we're talking about, or maybe that the owner died and there's no one else in the family who would take that dog. Those sorts of things are actually very common.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, people passing away or going into assisted living homes or other, you know, skilled nursing facilities, that is a very common reason that senior dogs end up in shelters, which is why it's so, so important, no matter how old you are, to make plans for how your senior dog will be provided for if something should happen to you, either temporarily or permanently. Because the last thing we want is for our beloved furry family members to end up without a home.
That's a good point, and I want to talk more about that and also talk about the wisdom of senior dogs. When we come back, we're talking with the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization, Lisa Longhofer, and we are on WGN. Lisa Longhofer is the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization, an organization, a nonprofit that's dedicated to support senior dogs. And you go to your website, which is, I believe, graymuzzle.org. Lisa, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and I go to the website and I see a video pop up. And in that video, I see very well-known, prominent senior citizens, sadly, some have even passed away since the making of that video, who are, and many comedians, by the way, supporting the work that you do. I think that's the coolest video ever. How did you get that done?
Oh, I love that video too. And we are so very thankful to Michael Levitt, one of our advisory board members, who you know well, Steve, because we are privileged to have you on our advisory board. But he is a producer in Hollywood, and he has such a heart for senior dogs. And he was determined to do something very special to promote how wonderful it is to have a senior dog in your heart and your home. And so he assembled this incredible cast of comedians to talk about why adopting a senior dog is so important and such an amazing experience.
That's the coolest thing. And maybe the second coolest thing. The coolest thing, I think it was Purina that did this years ago and launched a program seniors adopting seniors. So they promoted the idea that senior citizens can adopt senior dogs or cats for that individual program. And I think that's the perfect match. I mean, frankly, if you're, I don't know, I'll just say a number, and age is, after all, just a number. But if you're 72 years old and still with it, still doing things and getting another dog into your life, that's great. I think that's wonderful, but maybe not a puppy. And it's not necessarily because only the puppy may outlive you, to be honest, but also, greatly, it's because puppies can drive you crazy. They're wonderful. They're funny. They're great. But they're all over the place. Also, I think there's some connection. This is going to sound crazy and really anthropomorphic, but I do think that there's a connection, seniors and seniors. And you can, if you have a bit of arthritis in the morning, and the dog does too, and dogs do, older dogs often do, and that dog is kind of creaky in the morning like you are, you could relate to it. Am I on to anything?
I had that experience just this morning with my almost 15-year-old dog, Cameron, to be honest.
Come on, you're too young.
Oh, we both were doing the morning stretch, getting ourselves limbered up to get down the steps after a good night's sleep. So, yes, I absolutely think that that is true. And we absolutely also support programs that are focused on promoting the adoption of senior dogs by senior people. And, you know, we even have instances where the adoptions are supported. So if the older people don't have necessarily the financial resources or transportation to get the senior dog to the veterinary clinic, some of our grantees are offering support to help that person be able to meet the needs of their senior dog, which I think is a terrific model. It's not only giving a senior dog a loving home, it's giving that older person a loving companion, and then it's also giving them the human connection with the volunteers that are coming to check on them and make sure that bond remains strong.
Crazy question, but do you think senior dogs have a certain wisdom? I mean, they clearly have experience that, say, a younger dog doesn't have. Same with the younger person, but do you think there's a certain wisdom that actually comes with it?
I definitely agree that there is. I think having lived a long life and having had lots of different experiences, I think that brings to all sentient beings a certain wisdom and a sense of a peace, a grace. And I think that senior dogs are so open and ready to share that with their people.
Now, speaking of wisdom, two of the smartest people I know, Dr. Mary Gardner and Dr. Natalie Marks, are climbing a mountain for you. They're climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. I think it's in about a week. They're doing it in Africa, of course, because that's where Mount Kilimanjaro is. It would be silly to do it otherwise or try to. And they're doing this to support you. And that would be the Gray Muzzle Organization. And I'll give you a website in a moment if you want to contribute. When they first came to you, and Dr. Gardner, who I know is on your advisory board as well, because I got her hooked in with you guys, said, "I'm climbing a mountain for you." What did you think?
I thought it was amazing. I was incredibly touched by her passion, and I've always been touched and in awe of her dedication to senior dogs and senior animals in general.
Yeah.
And she has been such a great supporter of Gray Muzzle's mission and has offered such great resources to our community that have really, we've gotten such great feedback on her webinars and sharing her book and now her taking this next step, big step, to climb a mountain for us. We were just blown away by her commitment and her passion, and we're just so excited to to follow her and Dr. Marks as they climb to the top of the mountain and just share with the world the joys of senior dogs.
Well, they're not seniors at all, but by the time they reach the summit, they might be. I don't know. But here is a website where you can contribute if you'd like. And this is a great way to contribute to senior dogs because they are supporting your organization. Pledgeit.org/2TWO vets. Pledgeit.org/TWO vets. That is one way to help the Gray Muzzle Organization. I suppose another way is to go to your local animal shelter, even if you're not a senior. And if you are a senior, it doesn't matter. And consider adoption. Is that, I can't imagine I'm going to get much of an argument with you, Lisa.
Absolutely. We encourage everyone to go to their local shelter and adopt a senior dog or maybe two senior dogs.
That's right. That's a good point, actually, because then the dogs kind of have one another. And especially at some animal shelters, set up social interactions or play groups or have the dogs actually even cohabitate. Often senior dogs end up in a shelter, as we talked about, because maybe their owner had to move and I can't figure this out. Unless they're moving out of the country, why they wouldn't take a dog with them. But nevertheless, and they may have had two dogs that lived together for many years. You don't want to split those dogs up. So, in fact, I think two dogs can be a very good idea if you're up for it, Lisa.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is really true. You know, it is not uncommon to have bonded pairs of dogs who have spent their whole lives together and their owner or their person passes away or goes into an assisted living facility or for some other reason can no longer care for them and they find themselves in the shelter. And, you know, again, like I was saying about the trauma of coming into the shelter and then, you know, the trauma of potentially being separated from your pal that you've spent your whole life with.
Yeah.
That's just tragic. So, yes, if you can do it, open your heart to two senior dogs.
She says, open your heart. I agree. Again, that website, pledgeit.org/2vets or graymuzzle.org. Lisa Longhofer, Executive Director, Gray Muzzle Organization. Thank you so much. So much really revolves around your pet's teeth. Yeah, that you heard me right. And, you know, we've talked about this before on the radio, you know, how important it is to brush a pet's teeth. Well, most people don't do it. Do you really do it? I don't do it all the time. I'm guilty of it too. So then what other options are there? We'll talk next week with a veterinary technician who travels around the world talking about this topic. That's Mary Berg, who I've never had on the radio before. It's about time we speak with Mary. David Kerpel, who will be here next week, has created and founded what's called the Forever Home Dog Sanctuary. So it's a way to save more dogs. And, you know, dogs aren't instant fixes if they're having issues at the animal shelter. So perhaps to be in an environment where they're not in a 4x6 area and they're really at a true dog sanctuary can make a big difference. And we'll talk with David next week about this idea. Charlie Propsom is the co-founder of the Friends of Animal Care and Control. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to talk about this big benefit you have coming up. But first, who are, of course, I hope most of Chicago. I hope the mayor, Mayor Johnson, is a friend of Chicago Animal Care and Control. But as an organization, who the heck are you?
Well, Steve, we're a nonprofit that was organized about 25 years ago specifically to help the animals at the city shelter.
And that is because of what?
Because if you want to help those animals, you cannot contribute directly to the city. You have to go through a nonprofit. And there wasn't one devoted exclusively to animal care and control at that time.
So if you had 25 years ago given, I don't know, $25 to Chicago Animal Control, It might get to animal control, or at least 3 cents of it, but some of it may go to the sewer department. Some of it may go to, I don't know, the building inspector fund. Right. I mean, it could go anywhere. And
it could go in, it just goes into the general budget.
Right. So this is a way for you to specifically. And the other thing is that Chicago doesn't give enough money for animal care and control. Never has. This is not an organization. And, you know, I understand the city, I kind of understand, but the city's short of money all the time. It's been that way for years and years and years and years. And this is a way to raise money, also to raise money for specific projects, I believe.
Yes. And just so Chicago doesn't sound so bad, every major metropolitan area in the country suffers from a lack of budget for their animal care and control operations. It's last on everybody's list. If you notice, when you go to any city, where do they put their animal care and control? They put it out in the most obscure neighborhoods so that people won't see what's going on.
And in Chicago, that I don't know, that might have been the case when the building was built, but it's certainly not the case now. It's on Southwestern Avenue. It's open for you to visit and hopefully adopt some animals from, because right now there's an issue. There are unfortunately more animals going in than those that are being adopted out. Now, the good news is other shelters in the Chicago area come in and say, we've got space. We can take 3 cats and 2 dogs or whatever it may be. Also, there are rescue organizations. Fosters have come to the rescue. All of that makes a difference. But even with all that, Charlie, as I understand it, it's a simple math. More are today going in than those that are coming out.
Yes, but conditions have improved dramatically since we started the Friends Group 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
At that point in time, 90% of the animals, over 90%, like 97, I think it was, 97% of the animals were euthanized. Today, that same number is reversed. We save that many, and that's because people like the director, Sue Capello, are being very innovative in who they work with, how they work with them, etc. And organizations across the board in the city have helped animal care and control. Paws is doing, like, I don't know, 30 spay neuters a week now for the city shelter, and that dramatically increases their ability to serve the community, bring animals forward, get them adopted, etc.
Paws also has a table, Paws Chicago, where if you are coming into, very few people, it happens, but very few people say, I want to give up that pet. This is what I'm getting up in the morning and I'm so excited to do that. They're giving up the animal because they have no choice, either because they can't find a place to live with the pet, or finances, or maybe a family member died and no one else, sadly, in the family wants that pet, whatever the, maybe they can't afford veterinary care that pet truly needs, and they figure, okay, this is the best thing for the pet. Well, Paws intercepts people as they walk in the door and they say, how can we help? How can we help you to keep that animal? And I understand, Charlie, it's a very successful program.
Yes, the diversion program, diverting animals out of the city shelter and into rescue. And it's a remarkable thing that Paws is doing there. We really love it. And we try to do our share of it, too. We're much smaller than Paws, but we too, help people. I took a cat out of a home just the beginning of this week. A friend called. He is the condominium manager for a building down the block from me. The owner died. She had lived in the apartment for 50 years. Oh, my God. It was filled to the ceiling with stuff and one lonely cat.
Hmm.
And the family was going to come to town and euthanize the cat because they didn't know what else to do. And this is a year old cat. Now she's in our care. She's up for adoption. and we saved her life, you know? And that's what rescues across the city are trying to do.
You also have what's called an after-hours program that I want to talk about that has saved so many. And you have a big benefit where not only can you help Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control help to help animals, but you can also have a good time and eat a lot of food. We will talk about that when we come back on WGN. Charlie Propsom is the co-founder of Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. It's a nonprofit, sort of a nonprofit arm of Chicago Animal Care and Control, which is a municipal facility. More and more cities have set this up because that way you're able to help. What I think, and you and I think have described it similarly, Chicago Animal Care and Control is where it's at. So we have all these wonderful shelters and rescues all over Chicago and in the suburbs. But really the hub of that wheel is Chicago Animal Care and Control. And everyone else is kind of a spoke on the wheel. I think both of us have used that analogy, Charlie.
That's a good way to put it, Steve.
And it's where so many animals go because right now I understand there's a problem with stray dogs that we have not seen in a long time.
I'm not familiar with the stats on that, but stray dogs certainly are a problem for most municipal communities, and we do our best to find homes for those animals. And to find fosters, oh my God, that is the key to getting foster dogs, getting dogs off the street and into the homes where they belong.
So let's talk about the foster program. What is it? What does it mean? We've mentioned it, but people may not know what that means. So what does that mean and how can someone apply to do that?
Well, interestingly enough, Friends has started a little program at our Petco store downtown on Orleans. Every couple weeks, we're getting together with foster animals and some foster caregivers in our organization. And we're there for half an hour, to let people know what fostering is about. Because you hear that term, but what do I have to do in order to foster?
Mm-hmm.
And it's different depending on your capabilities. Somebody in my building now, I live in a high rise, just volunteered to foster for us. And we had a little pity about 4 months old, I think. Its owner was seen beating this dog. Hmm. I don't know the particulars, but Bobby's his name. He ended up with a cracked skull and a blood clot forming on it. One eye was turning red. We thought he might be a goner, but in fact, he's fine. We gave him emergency medical care through our after-hours program, and he is doing so well now. It's not funny. The woman who is fostering him works from home, so she's able to give him the round-the-clock care that he needs. He just needs to be quiet. And for any puppy, that's very difficult.
Yes.
So she's taking care of him. She calls on me and a friend to walk him when she's got a business meeting, etc. So, you know, her fostering situation is unique and her foster animal is kind of unique, but we have people who are fostering whole litters of kittens, and some of those kittens don't have moms, so you're bottle feeding around the clock, you know. Fostering can mean so many different things to so many people, and it brings joy to people because they can have an animal in the house that they don't have to commit to. But then we have what we call foster failures, and that's when somebody wants to adopt. the animal that they are fostering.
Yeah, they begin to foster, and then they say, I'm in love with this animal, and I'm going to keep the animal. If someone is interested in fostering at Chicago Animal Care and Control, by the way, just about every shelter, brick and mortar shelter in Chicago, or the Chicago area for that matter, or the country for that matter, have foster programs now. But for Chicago Animal Care and Control, if you're interested, that would be a great place to foster, because we talked about the fact that more animals are coming in than going out. This also frees up space. And I'll tell you, no matter how great that facility is, and Chicago Animal Care and Control, they care. They do the best they possibly can, but it's not like a home. And having these animals in a home is great for the animal. But what's more, that foster family can say, you know what? It turns out this dog really is crazy about kids. Or this cat, really, I can teach the cat, because it's jumping on every piece of furniture, not to do that. So, or the dog isn't house trained. It's a puppy still. And now, when the dog is finally adopted, a month or two later, the dog is on its way to being house trained. There are so many advantages of these foster programs. I think, Charlie, how can people sign up?
I think, Steve, the best thing to do is to contact Animal Care and Control, or contact Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. Either one can give you an avenue in to fostering with us. There are many groups that foster through the city shelter, too. You know, it's not just Friends, it's other organizations.
Right. Right. Now, so, you've got this big benefit coming up before we run out of time. I want to talk about that. So let's talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is an event that we started about 20 years ago. And this year's event is taking place on October 17th. And we are in an unusual and wonderful location, 1520 West Fulton Street, Fulton Market area. There's plenty of parking around there, too, so that's a nice benefit if you're a city dweller. It runs from 6 to 9 on October 17th, and it involves a band, music, dancing, silent auctions, live auction,
food.
And food, yes, Steve.
Yes. Again, the event is October 17th, and for more information or for tickets for the event, which will be a big night, how can people get those?
You can go to our website, fcacc.org, and you can order right there through October 16th, the day before the event. They're $125, and after that it goes up to $150. But it's very simple. Go to that website, fcacc.org, and place your order. Okay, my kitty just dumped the phone.
The kitty just dumped the phone. Okay. So, while you retrieve your phone, let me say this. This is the primary way in which Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control raises money. You may have other smaller events throughout the year, but this is it. And it's fun. I would be there, except I am, this is like the third event this year that this has happened, or fourth, where I'm out of town. You choose events, not you specifically, but everybody seems to, that I'm out of town, and then they ask me to MC it. So I would be there. I really have been there before, because this is so incredibly important for the city of Chicago. FCACC.org to learn more. Charlie, you're the one who said, we need a not-profit to fund or help fund Chicago Animal Care and Control, to have programs like the After Hours program, where animals can be taken after hours when your veterinarians aren't there. Animals don't always show up between 9 and 5, right? Or on weekdays only. And you then take them to an emergency clinic and treat them, or even if they can't be treated at Animal Care and Control, you say, well, this animal can be saved. The veterinarians say that. We can't afford it, don't have the resources or the equipment to do it, but an emergency clinic does. And you say, we can do it. And you've done that over and over, saving so, so many animals. Thank you for all the work you do and everyone involved with Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome, Steve. Thank you.
Cyanobacteria. That sounds nasty, doesn't it? And there are 95 cyanobacteria species which proliferate in harmful algal blooms that occur all over the Midwest, all over the United States, all over the world in increasing number because the waters are getting warmer. Whether we're talking about Lake Michigan, potentially, that's not happened yet to my knowledge in Lake Michigan, but we can be talking rivers, streams, ponds. Look what has happened in Florida before with this. And not only do fish die, dogs go jumping into this water. We do too at times. And then the dog gets very sick or we get very sick. Some communities test waters all the time, and they'll put up signage to warn people, or you see this bluish, reddish, brownish, greenish color. Kind of looks pretty, but in the pit of your stomach, you know, that doesn't look right. Well, it's not right at all. So be very careful about bodies of water that might have these harmful algal blooms.